Literary Scape presents the historical inspirational book club podcast, the first of its kind. This show is for those who love clean romance adventure stories from the 1800s.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode. Have you ever wanted to see your writing published? Maybe you find yourself overwhelmed by the process of publishing or wondering if your writing is even good enough. Yeah, I've been there too. And I figured out a way to overcome the overwhelm so I can finally experience the joy of the writing, publishing, and marketing process. And today I'm excited to share it with you. So I am introducing Historical Christian Romance Writers, or HCRW. It's a writer's group designed for aspiring authors of the historical Christian romance genre. No more overwhelm, no more doubt. Now you can write, publish, and sell your novel with joy. I'll show you how. Inside the HCRW membership, you'll find training to develop your writing skills so you can write a novel that blesses your readers, specific and timely feedback from our critique group so you can keep your writing on track and moving forward, training to develop your marketing skills so you can put your novel in the hands of readers, and the opportunity to connect with authors of historical Christian romance so you can capitalize on partner promotion. You're among the first to hear about HCRW, and you can grab your membership for only $37 a month. I can't wait to take this journey with you. Just click the link below for more details and to enroll today. And readers, we have some exciting news for you. Our book club will be offering new book discussions, giveaways, and live author events during the 2024 reading year. Be sure to sign up for our Literary Escape Book Club newsletter to stay up to date to join in the fun. Let's pray, then enjoy this week's book discussion. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to connect with readers around the world and to share books that exalt you. I lift each and every listener to you and ask that you would speak into their lives and guide and direct them through the valleys and the mountaintops. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. In this episode,
Tiffany,
Jamie,
and Melissa will be discussing Hope and Cripple Creek by Sarah R. Turnquist. Tragedy strikes Catherine Matthews in the small town of Cripple Creek, Colorado. An epidemic teams her with an old enemy, Wyatt Sullivan, the town's doctor. In the midst of desperation and death, Catherine has decisions to make, but she has no idea to what extent they will affect her daily life and livelihood. The town is turned upside down when the gold miners go on strike. The owners bring in outside reinforcements ready to break the resolve of the Western Federation of Miners. Everything in an upheaval, Catherine faces a crisis of faith and hard choices. Will life ever be normal again? That's a really great capture of what you're about to get into as a reader with this story. And I just want to hit on the whole minor storyline that goes through there, because that is a continuation of David and Mary, which you get to see them and their little family, which I love. So let's start with that, and then we'll dig into our new couple, if you don't mind. Thoughts on David and Mary in dealing with this whole miners' strike? Because remember, in his story, he wanted to break away. He went and became a stagecoach driver for like a very short bit. And then he went and got a job as a miner because he didn't want to live under his dad's shadow. Mm-hmm. But this is a book of reckoning, really, for him and for his dad. So, thoughts on how that all played out.
I like how you see Mary's patience continue through this. Like, she is so patient. She's solid. She's just, yeah. And David was very frustrating. Mm-hmm. It was very frustrating in this book.
I know, because I'm like, I just was curious. All those scenes where he's like, oh, my gut just is upset and it's something's not fitting right. Something doesn't feel right. And I'm like, well, that's called the Holy Spirit. You need to listen.
Yeah.
Listen to it. I don't know. What did you guys think?
I was not as patient as Mary. Mm-mm. I'd be like, just get out of there. Like, what are you doing? You have a family. I get you want to support them and you're trying. Like, I admired him for that fact. But the fact that he just kept going to all these meetings and putting himself in danger was really frustrating to me. Mm-hmm. Like, get out of there. Just go, be gone, you know?
And the biggest reason he could even in the book as well, I don't want to be a strike breaker. Like, that's it. Like, if you're dead, does it matter? Like,
right. That's
or what happens or your family. Mm-hmm. I just kept pride goes before a fall like that. I just kept hearing pride goes before a fall.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I kept waiting for the worst.
Yeah.
Right.
It happened. I mean, and in the end, he makes the right choice and whatnot. But coming from a family where they're like all union workers, well, at least the men in the family. This is, you guys will find this interesting. So my grandpa's worked at the same factory, right? But my mom's dad was a manager, and he actually went around the world and set factories up around the world for this company. Right. In fact, my mom spent 1 year of high school living in Mexico because he was setting up a plant down there. Right. My dad's dad. Okay. He's a worker on the plant floor. So two very different positions. Right. Isn't that I just find it so interesting when I learned all this. But they would do strikes too. And one time my mom's dad was stuck on the roof of the building because of the strike going on. And they were like flipping their cars over, like just lifting and flipping. And it took them a while before they were able to get him out and safe. And my other grandpa is part of that. Striking. I don't know if he was part of the flipping. I don't know if he did any of that stuff. But my grandpa, bless his soul, I love him to death. He's a tough, tough man. But he was very much like, you don't break that strike line, period. Because we hold out and we hold out together. And so as I'm reading it, I'm totally picturing my grandpa. But then to see like my grandparents my grandpas were two opposite ends. Mm-hmm. Of the spectrum with it. And so I could see both sides because I heard both sides, you know, growing up. So isn't that interesting? Yeah. I don't know. I just, what I loved about Mary is she never pushed her will. Like I would have been like you, Tiff. I would have been telling you like, get out. You're not eating well. You're not here with us anymore. Mm-hmm. This is too much. Just too much. Just get out. But she was so patient. Mm-hmm. And she was always like, let's pray. Let's pray together. I loved her faith through the whole thing. She's just really, she was great. All right, now let's get to our new couple, which actually, let me just ask, you read the back of the book. Did you read? Oh, I should ask. Did you read the back of the book before you started reading?
I did not. Because of my Kindle. It just pops up and doesn't.
Did you?
I don't know if I did or not.
Okay, that might be why we had different opinions about Wyatt. Because you two said you didn't like Wyatt at the beginning.
I don't know. Because when I look back at my notes, so it's just everything I keep writing is like, you know, why is he so standoffish? Like, why is he acting so odd?
Okay. Like, when you read the back of the book, you realize, okay, that's the two that are meant to get together. But then as the story's going and she's getting like closer to Timothy, and I'm thinking, oh, my heart's breaking for Timothy because I know that's not where it ends, right?
That is one thing I don't like about reading the back, because then you see sort of like Jonas and the other one. It's like, you know that she's going to be with David.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, but he's so nice. Like, why?
I know.
But you need. I get it. But it just makes your heart hurt sometimes.
I will say that. OK, it does. It does. But I don't know. He gets his story, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. All right. So. Let's rewind. I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here. If you were Catherine, would you have been able to return to Cripple Creek?
A hard question because of what happened, but family-wise, yes, yeah, I would have.
It was the only place that had
family.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm very family-oriented. Like, I like that I'm close to my parents, and I've lived away from them before. Like when I lived in Tennessee for that very, very short time.
Yeah.
Because I would still come and see my parents. And I wanted to be close to my parents. Because, you know, with the kids and I'm okay being home and comfortable and close to my family. I'm not an explorer or pioneer by any means.
Yeah.
traveling makes me nervous. So.
Oh, really? Oh, I love to travel. Yeah. It's such an adventure to me.
No, not stay away.
Yeah.
But to I travel.
Like, and then so like me and Hans are kind of the same way. So like our vacations, like we went to Tennessee because we know what to expect. Like we like, I don't know.
The known.
Yes.
Whereas yes. Derek and I are like so thrilled by the unknown.
Yeah.
And then we used to do vacations with his parents every now and then. And we'd go somewhere and like it'd be somewhere they'd been. Right. And so then they know places to go. And then we're like, hey, did you see this over here? Let's go check this out. And then they were like, we like vacationing with you guys because we're seeing things we never seen before. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's but you're fun.
With somebody. If I was with somebody that's been there before, I think I'd be OK. Mm. It's just the whole.
Like a little safety net.
It is. Yeah. Like, and the only time I've traveled out of the country, I was with people that have traveled a lot and they knew what to do and where to look for the airports. And,
yeah.
You know, I felt safe in that.
Well, I've never flown. I tell you.
But yeah, Hans has no desire to fly either. So yeah. I'm like, but.
I might get brave one day, but. No, yeah. I like driving places because there's so many things you can see along the way and stop and see and stuff. But
sorry, I digressed.
No, that's OK. I kind of got off there, too. But yeah, that tragedy. I just wondered how if you were in her shoes, would you feel like you'd be able to return? Because if I would blame myself, I should have. I've never should have been goaded into doing that.
Yeah.
And if I would have just walked away. It wouldn't have happened. But how did you, so how do you, like now that you've read the whole story, how do you feel about her disdain, did I say that right, for Wyatt? I mean, like you, I know you said you wrote down a lot, like he's very cold and standoffish.
Yeah. Like even not liking him at first, like I still didn't blame him. Like I didn't see the sense in it. Like she just needed a place to place that anger is what I felt. I mean, I was surprised. Like you, I thought she would hate Betsy. She's the one that dared her. So how did Wyatt get the fall? Like I, that never sat well with me.
But
it was just his attitude towards it that bothered me. With
yeah, him. But I think it's because she had always had a crush on Wyatt and then it seemed like Wyatt always wanted to be with Betsy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that I almost think she viewed them as a pair, like Wyatt then.
Like he was responsible. He should have stopped it.
He should. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But that's interesting. Did you think the description and we won't share what happened, but the description of all that went down, I don't know. Did it just suck you in emotionally? Mm-hmm. Like I'm in tears for her. Cause I'm just like shit, the way she wrote it, like you could literally just be there and be the one trying and trying and trying. And then my heart broke for Wyatt. I think that's where I felt like, could you just stop blaming him? Because
you found out what happened after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like,
he had to make a tough choice. Well, it's not it wasn't even a choice.
No.
It was I have to help her get a hold of reality and get out before the rest of us, you know. So it was that was tough. I could cry now just thinking about it. Anyways, what did you think? We kind of talked about what we thought about Catherine and Timothy's relationship. It seems so natural and gentle. And I think that's what made me think they're better friends than lovers. You know? They were always friends through school.
And she felt safe with him.
Yeah. But
they could have been an amicable pair, but it's just that passion wasn't.
That's what they were saying. Yeah. There was never a passion or a spark there. Whereas like with Wyatt, there's always this like.
Yeah. Like she might blush or say something what he said, but then all. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the other thing. So the pandemic hits. I think that mentions or epidemic hits. And it mentions that on the back of the book. And so she's the only one willing to help Wyatt man, like basically two locations to help people. And oh, my word, the emotional roller coaster of all that. And then
there's these two orphans now that she doesn't want to see them split up, and she doesn't want them to grow up in a home without love, because basically the one couple that wanted the boy, they just wanted him to be like a workhorse on their farm. And so were you surprised by Wyatt's proposal and then her willingness to turn around and take him up on it?
No.
I was surprised. Like, I know he had I don't know how much to give away, but like, I know he had made that promise to the mother, but I didn't really, and part of it, see him actually taking it seriously until Katie did what she did. And then I was surprised she took him up on it.
Yeah.
Like, very much so. But I understand why, after she was rejected, you know, by.
Yes.
I think, and she tried to do it.
Surprise you.
And that did surprise me, too.
Yes.
I was just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
It was like a tipping point, I think.
Yeah,
it
was.
I think that's, I honestly think that's where she maybe even started to realize there isn't a passion in this relationship. Mm-hmm. This is a deep friendship.
Well, yeah. It was such a hard moment in the book, too, because he wasn't wrong. He wasn't necessarily wrong.
I totally agreed with his reasoning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, neither was she. And it was just, it was passionate. Like, you didn't expect it from Wyatt. But then again, I don't know, being an overthinker and not trying to give anything away, but he became a doctor after a tragedy. Like, you're starting to think what he went through.
Not only from that tragedy, but from his childhood too, right? Mm-hmm.
So it makes you think, like, I don't see him as one making that promise lightly. So when he said it was kind of like, but then it didn't surprise me that he would come up with that.
Yeah.
It surprised me that he asked her.
And she didn't ask him.
Oh, really? That one?
Did I read it? Didn't Wyatt ask her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I guess I would have assumed he had asked someone else first.
Oh.
Like, that's
true. Part surprised me. Why?
That's true. Now that you say that.
But he knew her passion for. Her
passion for the
kids. The kids. Mm-hmm. And really, it pairs well with his healing heart. He has a heart to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because he also is trying to heal his own wounds from his own past.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that scene after they got married and she's having the nightmare. And then she kind of gets like, don't even. And he's like, yeah, you're not the only one that has nightmares about that. And that's that, like what you said, that puts it even more perspective. Like, yeah, he was profoundly affected by that event as well.
And the impact that when he said that impact of how that affected her, it was just kind of like he couldn't have smacked her in the face any better than just, you know, that statement.
Yeah. And then when they show up and she's like racing to like get the kids, right? In that moment, when Wyatt walks in and picks her hand up and says, we're married. And then Timothy at the back of the room, like, what? How did you react to that scene?
I felt bad for Timothy.
Oh, yeah.
My heart just like,
ooh. My heart shattered for him.
You felt it. Felt what he was feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just feel like, oh, I don't know.
Like, it's like, what?
Oh, my goodness. And
his statement later on when he looks at her and he said, what does he tell her? He says something about,
if I had known the stakes
were so high, my answer may have been different. And it was just like, oh.
But it wouldn't have been right.
It wouldn't have.
Mm-mm. Would not have been right. But there's a lot more that happens in there for Catherine and Wyatt. But did you enjoy their love story?
Yeah.
Very much.
I did too. That was great. What's your overall lasso rating of Hope and Cripple Creek?
Three lasso.
Three. Yeah, I give it a 3-2. What would you rate the romance level?
Could have been more.
Mm-hmm. It could have been more. I don't know. I teeter because it's like it was that forbidden romance. Well, not like forbidden, but it was just it was there, but it wasn't. It was like not. Like, there's romance there. There's attention, but we're not going to acknowledge it.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably lean towards espresso just because I can't like pull out like a really.
There's nothing spicy.
Yeah, spicy moment. Yeah. Not that I mean, you know that our level of spicy is not 50 Shades of Grey. Okay. Yes. That's not what we're talking about when we say spicy. It's just like that.
Butterflies in your tummy.
Yes. Yeah. What would you rate the adventure level?
espresso. Yeah. Really wasn't a lot.
I mean, I think that David and Mary's story had more adventure to it. That secondary storyline had more to it than theirs, other than like the epidemic piece. But even then, that wasn't like real adventurous. It was just kind of like we're working and working to keep people alive. But and then what mystery level?
Espresso.
Yeah.
There really wasn't even a tiny bit of mystery in this either. I would agree. Espresso. Okay. We're going to continue with Wyatt and Catherine in our next episode.
Hey everyone. If you enjoy our content, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcast platform or hitting the like button on our Rumble channel. These simple clicks by you help us reach more people. Thank you for your support. And until next time, happy and blessed reading.